Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashin class learning. I believe it is Yod Chas Teves. It is also January the 16th. We are learning the Ilui Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'chana Alav Hashem. May his neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So, ladies, let's begin with the Tfila Al Hadibur. Please, if you can open up to the front flap. Ribono shel olam, yihi ratzon lefanecha al rachum v'chanan shetizakenu hayom uvechol yom lishmor pi ulishoni milashon hara urechilus v'azahar miladaber afilu al ish yachid v'kol shekein al klal yisram o al chilek mehem v'kol shekein milayisraim al midosov shel hakadosh baruch hu v'azahar miladaber divrei sheker chanufa machlokas ka'as gaiva unas dvarim habanas panim leitzanis v'chol dibur asar v'zakenu shel oladaber ki imdaber hatzarech inhani Goofy Venafshi, you call Maasai Vidibarai the Shame Shamayim Amen. So good morning. I related last time, I believe, that I was working on being like a Liros Tov and trying to see the good in everything. So I'll just give you a small example of something that happened this morning, which is an example of this. And then we're actually going to go to before the Sefer. My mother came to town last week and she brought this. She said she saved it. It's actually from Jewish Action, which is an OU magazine from the summer of 2011. So we're coming in the summer of 2017. So it's a very long time ago, but she brought it to me, and I read it over Shabbos. I said, oh, I think she wasn't even in town anymore. I thought, this is very basher, because Monday Shmir Salashin class, the title is Handle with Care. We're going to look at that in a minute, but I just want to give you an example of what it means to be Olos Tov, because I really had a understanding. I know we always say, Misha Chavetz Chaim Arvam Olos Tov, but I had such a deep understanding a few weeks ago that being Olos Tov, a practical understanding is key. So this morning there was no so exciting. There was no bossing. I didn't realize people were really off. Alyssa said to me, I don't know if people are going to come to class. People are off. I said, people are off? She said, yes, they're off. I didn't realize. I just know there's no bossing, but my husband has work. I work. Anyway, so when I did the first drop off at TAG, I have to go from TAG to Darche Baruch Hashem. So there was a school bus with the lights flashing, so we couldn't go past the bus. So, but it's taking a long time. Can I know how? I don't know how they managed to fit a lot of kids into that bus. And I, one of those hectic mornings. So I said, the bus is taking a very long time. And the old days, maybe I just would have said, the bus is taking a really long time. And then I said, Baruch Hashem, a lot of Jewish children are coming to learn today in school. So I was just trying to always, again, I'm reiterating the point, because that really is the key to Netzor Lashon Chameira. So let's look at this together, please. Again, it's from Jewish Action, summer 2001. I thought it was, she just gave it to me last week, and I thought, wow, this is like super relevant. So I think it's an important article. Right, you could see on the bottom, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman served as a rabbi. I'm just reading his bio, so you know what we're looking at. As a rabbi in Atlanta for 40 years, former editor of Tradition, op-ed columnist for the Jerusalem Post. He's taught at two different universities, including Bar-Ilan, author of 9 books. Okay, so Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, and this is called Handle with Care. My mother used to admonish us with her favorite saying, not everything one thinks should be spoken, not everything one speaks should be written. And I think it goes further, isn't it also not everything written should be read? I think so. She tried, not always successfully, to teach us to be careful with words. These days, after WikiLeaks, my mother's words turn out not to just be old wives' tales. It has become the virtual Bible of the diplomatic corps. Cables are far more circumspect. Negative opinions about individuals are carefully sanitized. Unfortunately, it's not always true. But what happens when we don't carefully sanitize? An increased self-control increased self-control about what one writes or speaks is the order of the day. Diplomats know if you don't want to repeat it in public, don't say it or write it even in private, which is good advice for all of us as well. You know, just this morning, the printer wasn't working. So, yes, Gamzo Tova, but I need to get to classes and the printer's not working. So I texted my husband, the printer's not working, I need to leave in 15 minutes, I can't put my document with, you know, frown face. And then I realized I sent it to my husband, my brother, and my sister-in-law. Now think of the implications of that. I only wrote, the printer's not working, I need to leave in class in 15 minutes, I can't print. I thought I only sent it to my husband. Diplomats know, if you don't want to repeat it in public, better not to say it or write it even in private. such a strong lesson. And then I thought, whoa, imagine if I would have said, I don't know, something else, about somebody else, something, anything. Jews have always known, look at this, about the double-edged sword that is speech. So one side, of course, is a double-edged to speech. One side, of course, is that it can be very positive, very beneficial. On the other side is it can be a sword. It can soothe and heal or wound and destroy. And King Shlomo says in Mishlei, Maves v'chayim b'yad halashon. Maves v'chayim. Notice that he puts Maves first. Isn't that sobering? Maves v'chayim b'yad halashon. Death and life reside in all... Why can't I talk? Talking about Koach HaDibur, and that all-powerful weapon which we call the tongue. And then he quotes Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, which we've quoted many times in this class. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es Adam Afar Min Adama. Hashem Elokim created man dust from the earth. Vayipach Bap of Nishmas Chaim. He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. Vayi Adam L'nefesh Chayim. Man became a living spirit. And Targum Malkus says the Ruach Mamala. We spoke about this very, very many times. Unlike other creatures, Adam was given the power of speech. Ironically, look at this next sentence. It's very powerful. That which distinguishes us from the beast is often debased and used for beastly and hurtful purposes. The one koach that's meant, obviously our intellect is on a different level, but the koach at the moment of creation, Vayi Adam L'ruach M'malala, says Targum Mungus, man became a speaking spirit, and we're different than all life forms because of that koach adibur. I understand birds chirp and chimpanzees make noises. I know they have communication systems, but we're the only one who has some complex speech. It's to differentiate us. It's to elevate us over animals. How ironic that it is often debased and used for beastly and hurtful purposes. We're taking the Koach HaDibur, which is meant to take us away from animals, and bring us down to lava. Therefore, the pervasive warnings about utilizing this godly power, because it is so potent, the Pasuk says in Devar, Motza Svasecha Tishmar, carefully guard what comes out of your mouth. Lo yachal dvaro, don't profane your words. We're going to see that in the Chavetz Chaim Sefer as well. Kohalas tells us, Of Hashemayim Yolich Es HaKol, the bird of the heavens transmits call, the sound. Ubal Knafayim, and the winged birds, Yagid Davar, relates your speech. And look what he says then, is this the origin of a little birdie told me? You know, there's an expression, oh, a little birdie told me. I don't think they use it so much anymore, do they?
No,
I don't think so. But it means a little birdie told me. Well, it says, Of Hashemayim, the birds of the heaven, Yolich Es HaKol, will carry your voice. Ubal knafayim, winged creatures, yagid davar, will tell you speech. Perhaps, I just thought of something, perhaps inherent in that pasuk is an illusion. Once you set a bird free, I'm not talking about if it hits an airplane and if there's pollution and it gets coated in oil and it dies. I'm talking about, like Lamai said, before a man came around and started destroying the environment. Birds migrate thousands of miles. They have a natural instinct in them to migrate, and they can fly. There are certain species of birds that can fly for days just going with the wind. So maybe that's why Kohalas tells us that the birds carry speech, the illusion being. The lesson being that once the bird picks up your speech, once your speech is sent out into the air, it can fly around the world. It can carry everywhere. It can go for days without stopping. You know how unbelievable that is? It's very scary. And therefore, it's like a bird. And as Rashi tells us, Maseches Brachos AB, Aznayim Lakota. Look at that. What does that mean?
The walls have ears.
By the way, it's also a beautiful play on words. I'm just taking it out of context. But when we think of the Kosa, the way where we daven at the Kosa Maravi, Aznaim Lakosa, it's actually very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Hashem's ear, Kaviyach, is always listening to us at the Kota. But in terms of Shmir Salashon, everything here. It's not happenstance, it's not by chance that two of the Aseres Hadibros deal with speech. Don't say Hashem's name in vain, don't bear false witness, and Pirkei Avos tells us that Hashem formed the world through his own power of speech. However, but this now comes to something very important. So why is it so frightening that I send something to my husband that I thought was only my husband, and it was really a chat between three people? What is the implication of the negative speech? Is it only because I don't want to offend something else? You know, this brother and sister-in-law and family came for supper last night. Imagine if I would have said, like, because my sister-in-law suggested it was fine, it was beautiful, we had a wonderful time. But I don't know, imagine if I would have said, like, I was so tired and I'm not so happy they came. I don't know, something negative about them. It went to them. It's unbelievable. You hit send and you can't take it back. Thank God I only said, I can't print my document. I have to leave in 15 minutes. It's so scary. And that's why Rabbi Feldman writes, diplomats know if you don't want to repeat it in public, don't say it or write it even in private. Because really, what today is private anymore? Especially with the emergence, the flooding of what we used to call cell phones, which are now like computers in our hands. What's really private? It's like a bird. The bird can migrate thousands of miles. Your speech can just go on and on and on. It's beyond your control. But besides the fact that you could offend somebody else, now he brings up something else. Rabbi Feldman says the real reason we should be careful about what we say, you're right. Look at this. It's not because we're afraid our nasty talk might be found out. What's the problem? Even if the walls did not have ears, even if the winged creatures did not transmit our speech, you still have to be careful because evil speech, look at this, even if no one ever hears about it, harms not only others, but ourselves in hidden and very real ways. So we've discussed many of these ideas. We're coming up with some new ideas as we're learning through this piece, but it's always an important reiteration. Always, always, we can never reiterate too often enough that Koach HaDibur and the abuse of Koach HaDibur doesn't only hurt the people that we slander, but it hurts myself. Evil speech harms not only others, but ourselves in hidden and very real ways. It is detrimental to our spirit and our soul. It demeans us. It diminishes us. So imagine if I abuse my Koach HaDibur. Never mind when I do this. I bring my own self down to the level of animals. If God gave me this Koach HaDibur to lift me up animals and I use it in an improper way, then I make myself like an animal. I growl at somebody. Think about it. Then I made myself like a dog. I'm really not making a joke. It is detrimental. What did you say?
The truth.
And it's frightening. Mm-hmm. Consider. Look at this next statement. How can the same lips that utter prayer to God, you go in daven, you make a bracha, you bench, say an asher yatzar, also utter blasphemy and obscenities. The same words that you use to daven are the same words you use to speak in a crass, inappropriate, demeaning, derogatory fashion. How can the same mouth that says Baruch Atah Hashem of Mordechai Gifter says the most important word in the bracha, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, Shiva tells us, says the most important word in the bracha is Atah You, because it symbolizes our personal connection with Hashem. How can the same mouth that says Baruch Atah Hashem also say things that wound, hurt, and destroy? Beyond that, there is a positive benefit to careful speech, in the Tzar Lashon Chameiru, Svesacha Medabra Mirma. An evil tongue includes gossip, slander, vile language, vulgarity, and I really think that in the Sefer Chunches Chovis HaShmira, as we've been learning it together, the Mechaber, which is Chavetz Chaim, of course, Chusei Yagen Eleinu, tries to teach us to that we tend to think of Lashon Hara as only saying something negative about another person, but there is so much more. Lashon Hara means evil speech or bad words. An evil tongue, Lashon Hara, evil tongue, includes gossip, not only slander, not only vile language, vulgarity, words that don't belong coming out of a Jewish person's mouth, coarseness, you know, the word stupid. It's not a nice word. It's a word I try very, very hard. It doesn't happen in our house. I try not to say it sometimes if I really frustrate. I'll be like, S-T-U-P-I-D, if I really feel I need to. The kids are like, we know what it spells. But Bedarach Klal doesn't come out. Bli Neder, Hashem should help us. It's just not, it's not Lashon Hara. But you understand, if speech also is a reflection of your soul, not only how it impacts on somebody else, and what do you want coming out of your mouth? Profanity, falsehood, or using hurtful words. The elixir of life, the potion of life, is to keep our lips pure and unsullied, undirty. It leaves you with a feeling of serenity, calm. That's the guarantor of a good life. Pure lips and a pure tongue. Using speech to comfort, guide, teach, and pray, create a pure soul and a healthy body. And look what he says next. Untainted or unsullied by envy, untainted by hatred, by distrust, by suspicion, that poison life and shorten it. So look how far-reaching the effects of negative speech are. All of society is affected by loose words. We live in a global village. Words have become almost meaningless. with a click, you can send toxic rhetoric around the world in seconds, which we spoke about, which is why perhaps Koalas tells us that it's a bird who carries your speech, because that bird, just like the bird, flies. And you know, the other thing about the bird is once he flies away, you release the bird, you have no control of what he's doing in the next country. When he makes it 500 miles away, it's not in your control anymore. Technology has made it possible to advertise oneself unabashedly. Where someone said, I was just with two people, and a kid and an adult, and the kid said, what's Facebook? I think Facebook came up, and the adult said, a waste of time. So that's right. It's a waste of time. The manic use of, I understand people use it for good things, but we have to use our discretion. Where the manic use of instantaneous communication has stifled careful thought and civil discord. People post everything and anything without thinking, is this something that I really want in public? Is this something I really want the bird to carry? Where malevolent and not benevolent speech is the norm. Look at this last sentence of the second to last paragraph. It's a great sentence. Where everyone has a megaphone and everyone is a broadcaster who has nothing to say and keeps on saying it. It's fantastic. WikiLeaks has caused great harm and embarrassment, but it bears an important lesson. Human speech comes with a warning sign. Caution, dangerous, handle with care, exclamation mark. And he ends with a cute sentence. More of the story after all is said and done. Mother, of course, is always right. So I thought it was, any questions or comments on this? Okay, so I just want to share one thing from the Hani Malchus book that relates to this article, and then we will go to the Sefer. Okay, through the book, they have Hani's Torah teachings. They have In Her Footsteps. So In Her Footsteps is people relate how they try and emulate Hani Malchus. What would Hani do? So In Her Footsteps, I'm 15 years old. This is from her niece, right? Menucha Adina Lustig. I'm 15 years old. I would ask Aunt Hani, how do you know what to say and to convince someone to do the right thing? How do you know what to say? She would say, open your mouth and Hashem will give you the right thing to say. Rav Shlomo Shwadron says, if you love the person you're speaking to, it works. And Hani, therefore, always had the right thing to say because she loved every single person. So she had, again, it comes from being the Rosh Tov. If you love everyone, you're seeing the good in everyone. She had absolute faith. If she opened her mouth, Hashem would put the right words in her mouth. I'm trying to incorporate Aunt Hani into my daily life. Just like Aunt Hani always said, it's from Hashem, it's for the best. I'm trying to have that emuna. Sometimes you see people, you want to give their neshama a hug. Like in school today, I saw a girl who really needed emotional uplifting. I gave a warm smile, and all I said was, hi, how are you? I wish I knew what to tell her, but I did my best. And then I realized Aunt Hani always knew exactly what to say. Hashem put the words in her mouth. So perhaps if we strive, b'darach shadam rotzei leich, if we really try to be on the proper path, ba'molich, you know, so Hashem will help us. If we strive to stay away from all the negativity and everything that Lashon Hara encompasses and stay on the good path, and Hashem gives us the right words to elevate ourselves to the level of a human being, na chas v'shalom, the level of animals. Right, any questions or comments on that, our introduction to? Okay. We're on page 46. Please open. Okay. We spoke last time about Parshas Kedoshim, Lo Seleich Rachil Ba'amecha. We spoke all about it. We're not going to review it today. Do not be a gossip monger amongst your people. And that's where we left off. I'm like 8 lines down. Okay? 8 lines down on page 46. Hocheach, tocheach, asa misacha. The pasuk says, I just added that in. She'll surely rebuke her fellow. Velo tisa alav chei. You should not bear sin because of him. She'll kai al habanas panim. And this is talking about habanas panim. And what's habanas panim? Embarrassing another person. You know, you have to be careful in the way you give tochacha. If tochacha, rebuke. First of all, let me first say there's no one today who knows how to give tochacha. That's first of all. Second of all, hocheach, tochiach, esa misecha. Why do hocheach, tochiach, double lashon? First give yourself musar, and then see if you really need to give someone else musar. But second of all, if there really is a time when you do need to give musar, lo tisa alav chei, don't bear sin because of him. Don't do the tochacha in a way, don't speak the tochacha in a way that becomes so embarrassing and demeaning for the other person that it causes Halbanas panim, you just whitened his face, you have embarrassed him. Uparshas Bahar, and in Parshas Bahar, it says, I wanted to share this with you inside, 1 second. Looks like I brought my whole library, but not really. In Parshas Bahar, it says, Lo tonu is ish es amito, a man shall not oppress his fellow. Chaf hei yod zayin, just bear with me 1 second, please. What does it mean? Lo tonu is ish es amito? Kan, he's here. Listen to Rashi. He says straight out, Al onas dvarim. This is a prohibition against verbal harassment. Verbal harassment. Shelo yaknit es chaveiro. Listen to this. You shall not annoy your friend. That's an unbelievable statement, especially when you think about, you know, two kids who are like annoying each other. Someone says to another, you're annoying me. Kan hizir, it's alo tase. Lo tonu isha samito. Kan hizir alo nas tvarim. It refers to verbal harassment. Shalo yaknit as chaveiro. You shall not annoy your fellow. Velo yasenu eitza she'eno hogeneslo. Don't give him bad advice. Lefi darko. Give him advice according with his mode of life, and for his benefit. No, I said it wrong. Don't give him advice that's not appropriate, but rather is good for you. Sometimes people give advice, and then what do you think to yourself? No one's going to know. It looks like I'm giving him honest advice, but really you're giving it because it's better for you. I'm trying to think of a practical example of that. You have one muffin left in the freezer. One muffin. You don't have time to bake for a few days. And someone comes in and they say, can I have this muffin? Say, it got a little dry. It didn't bake so well. It's not a part of your diet. It has too much sugar. So the person says, oh, you're right. I really shouldn't eat a muffin. Why did you say that?
Because you want it.
Because you want the muffin. No, I'm being serious.
It's always about food, Michal. You're so cute.
What did he say?
It's always about food. So
I'm trying to give a relevant example, but you're doing it in a way that it looks like you're advising him, Latova. Didn't you say you're trying to watch yourself? It's not worth it. I'll give you an apple instead because you have 10 apples in your drawer. You only have one muffin. Don't give him lo yaseinu eitzah she'eno ho geneslo. That's not good for him. Lefi darko v'hanaso shal yoetz. But rather, it's according to what you need. But then you might say, who knows? Someone's going to know. But the you know the next words are velo tonu ish as amito, a man shall not annoy, afflict, give bad advice to his fellow. Next words are v'yareisa me'elokecha, you shall fear God. So why are the next words there? Because Rashi says hayodei machshavos, Hashem knows your thoughts. Hu yodei kol davar hamusar lalev. He knows. The real reason is you want the muffin. He knows what's in your heart, and therefore bless you. Bless you. And therefore the Pasuk says, V'yareisame elokecha. And it's just a small example, but the truth is that it does happen in life. First of all, if it didn't happen, Rashi wouldn't tell it to us, Chazal wouldn't comment on it. Second of all, we have to be aware that when someone asks us for advice, we have to try and remove our subjectivity and be absolutely objective. What is really the best for this person? Not for me, for this person. Shukaya on Astvarim, okay. That it speaks about on Astvarim, we just saw that. Inside Shu Gamkin Diburat. Isn't that unbelievable? Would you ever think bad advice falls in the category of lashon hara or dibur ra? You would think it's bad advice, but the Chavetz Chaim here takes the umbrella of lashon hara and helps us realize how much fits into it. So much more than we envision is actually in the umbrella of lashon hara. Okay, uba parshas naso and in parshas naso vayushalchu min a machana kol tzarua. Everyone who has tzaraus has to be sent out of all three camps: machana shchiya, machana levia, machana yisrael. Badad yishev, he has to sit alone. Shu mishtalechus l'shalosh manachos machanos. Send them out of all three camps. The call. Why does it say vayushalchu min a machana kol tzarua? Says the Chavetz Chaim. Could just say vayushalchu min a machana tzarua or hatzarua. Send out the person who has tzaraus. Call Mirames Afilu Hu Gadol B'Torah Kedoeg. We spoke about Doeg a couple of months ago. Even if he, a few weeks ago maybe, even if he is a Gadol B'Torah, he still has to go for Tzorah. So you know what this means? The rich person in society, or the Talmud, or the, I don't know, the rab in society, you can't buy anybody off. And if he gets a raz, it doesn't matter who you are. Balacha doesn't care what your stature or your standing or your economic level in society is. Baal Lashon Hara, Masapa Lashon Hara applies to everyone in society equally, and we don't have to worry about embarrassing him. He has to be sent out of all three camps because he brought the punishment really upon himself. In Parshas Baal Oscha, with the Daber Mirim Ba'aron Ba'Moshe, of course, very famous. By the way, we're meeting Moshe this week. This expression, Leidas Moshe, and we're going to be with him till the end of Sefer Devarim. And of course, one of the monumental occurrences in his personal life is that Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara about him. Al-Kushis Asher Lakach. Why did he separate from his wife? We're also Levi, and we don't have to separate from our spouses. But what's interesting is Moshe was such an anav, and Moshe saw everything in such a good light, that what did he do for Miriam? After she was stricken with tzaras, what did he do for her? He davened for her. Here he went. He's such a loving anav that the person who slanders him, I know it's his sister, but still, the person who slanders him, we shouldn't say no, it's his sister. There's such a thing as sibling rivalry, and nine doesn't exist today. It existed back in the Torah day also. But he was so forgiving that not only did he say, okay, forgive you, but he went and he beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu for her. He actually davened on her behalf. Who remembers what his tefillah was on behalf of Miriam? Time flies in this class. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Who remembers what the tefillah was for Miriam? The shortest tefillah. 5 words. Kelna Rafanala. Kelna, please God, Rafanala. Give her a Rafua Shalema. Not because he was stingy with his prayers, that he made it short, but so that the B'nai Yisrael shouldn't say, oh, for her he davened such a long time, for us he davened for a shorter time, so that Klal Yisrael shouldn't perceive his tefillahs for his sisters as biased or negative. It wasn't that he forgave her. He forgave her. It's okay that you spoke Lashon Hara, but I mean, you're Jew, you need a refuah shleima. I'm going to daven for you. So I just want to share a very interesting insight since we bring up Miriam and Aaron on the tefillah, Kel Na Rafa Na La. That was the tefillah he davened. Ready? It's a little bit of a tangent. When Esav comes home from the field and he asks for soup of lentils, what does he say? Who remembers?
Give me some of that red stuff.
Very nice. So does anyone remember the words? Halitenina min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh ki ayef andochi. Pour into me some of that red, red stuff because I'm hungry. Halitenina min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh doesn't seem to really be language that Esav speaks. Please give me some of that red, red stuff. The same Esav who says father should eat. The same Esav who's abusive to his brother. This is the Esav who says, please can I have some soup? So what does na mean? So my daughter told this over in the name of Rabbi Weinman. I thought it was tremendous insight. How do we understand this? So it was obviously told over by Parshas Toldos. So how do we understand it? When you look at the Korban Pesach, which by the way, we're in Sefer Shmos, we're coming up to very soon. When you look at the Korban Pesach, there's different halachas as to how you have to eat the Korban Pesach. And one of them is, al tochu mimenu na. Don't eat it. No, it has to be cooked, roasted, not cooked, boiled, it has to be roasted. What does al tochu mimenu na mean? Don't eat it? Raw. Raw. So na doesn't only mean please, na also means raw, or right now. So Rabbi Weinman said, well, that's Esav saying, halitaini na, give it to me when it's raw. In other words, give it to me right now. Esav is a person of instant gratification. You know, Salvechik says, Ashkacha requires a Jew to have patience. We're not all people of na. We're not people of instant gratification. I don't need it right now. I can wait. Look how long we're waiting for Mashiach, and we're still waiting, and we haven't given up. A Jew has to wait. Not right now. Maybe perhaps that's part of the lesson in the Korban Pesach. It represents the Yeshua and the Geula from Egypt. It takes time. So therefore, Esav was saying, give it to me now. Even when it's raw. Even before it's done. So somebody noted, Rachi Fried, noted some very nice insight. What does it have to do with the tefillah of Miriam? Kel na, rafa na la. Moshe is saying na. So what are we adding on there? When it comes to refuah shleima, what do we say to Hashem? We don't want to wait. Na, we want it right now. So we take the koach of na and we use it letova. When it comes to davening, chalil v'chas, for a person who's in need of a Yeshua, then it's the na. Not only is it please, but it's also right now. We don't want to wait. But really, this teaches us about the anivus, a couple more minutes, and then we're going to go to the other sefer. It teaches us about the anivus and the tremendous ahavas yisrael, the tremendous ability of Moshe Rabbeinu to be a liros tov. You spoke Lashon Hara about me? That's okay. I'm not upset. I'm going to daven for you. Not only am I not upset, I'm going to daven for you. And yet, where am I up to? Okay, v'chein b'parashas shlachacha, and also in the parashas of shlachacha, anashim v'yasuris eretz kanan, hamadarbris minyan hamraglam. The whole parasha is about the slander of the spies. The spies came back. By the way, here we add an important nakuda to Lashon Hara. What they said about the land was, true. They were giving the report of what they saw in the lamp. So what was their downfall? They failed to be Liros Tov. There's two ways of looking at something. You could either say, oh, the bus is taking so long, I'm stuck here and I have to get to Darche and I have to get home, I have to pack up, I have to get to the next class. Why am I stopping by in the bus? Or you could say, Baruch Hashem, the bus is taking a long time. There's so many Jewish kids that are coming to learn. So it's the same occurrence. The occurrence has not changed. The objective reality is the same. But what changed? Your what?
Attitude.
I was going to say your perception or your attitude. When we talk about the Indian and Miragam, they weren't making up lies. The people in Canaan were having funerals. The people were very big. The fruits were huge. But, you know, you could either say the fruits are huge and it's scary. You could say, you know, we're going to get a lot of fruit salad. I don't know. Okay? Trying to think of a way to look at this. There's two ways to look at it. They didn't see the Tova. And in Parshas Chukas, Vayidaber Ambe Elokim B'Moshe, the people slandered Elokim and Moshe. V'nishlechu ha-nechashim. We're going to just finish this. 1 second. It's in Bamidbar. 1 minute. I want to tell you what Rashi says there. Chaf Aleph, hey? In Bamidbar, in Parshas Chukas, by the way, is the sin of Moshe and Aaron when they struck the rock / screamed at the people. Talking about Koch HaDibur. What does the Rambam say? What was their sin? We're talking about Parshas Chukas. Not that they struck the rock, not that Moshe struck the rock, but rather, Shimuna HaMorim, that he expressed anger at the people. Okay, so Chaf Aleph, hey, why can't I find it? Because I went too far. Okay. Vayidaber am belkim b'Moshe. The people spoke out against God and Moshe. Lama elisuni mimitzrayim. Why did he bring us out from Egypt? We're going to die in the desert. What are they doing? They're complaining. Ke'ein lacham. We have no bread. Ve'ein mayim. We have no water. By the way, talk about perception. Did they not have water? Oh, Miriam died. That's why they said no water. V'nafshenu katzach. Our souls are disgusted. Belacham hakil lo kel. By this insubstantial food. What were they complaining about? The man. What sustained them in the desert for 40 years? The man. So you could easily say, thank you so much, I didn't starve. Or you could say,
this was horrible.
Which, unfortunately, what they were doing. Salvechik says, they're always murmuring, vayislonu, murmur. Everything is always bad. So what did Hashem say? Vayishalach Hashem bam es ha-nechashim ha-srafim, the burning serpents, and they bit the people, and people died. So why did he dafka send that nachash? Why a serpent? Who was the first Balash? Who was the first Misaper Lashon Hara?
Nachash.
The Nachash Techava. And Rashi says, Yavo Nachash Shelaka al Otsaz Diba. Let the snake come, who was stricken because he spoke slander. V'yiparim Motze Diba. Let him take his due from those who speak slander. Yavo Nachash Shakal Hamini Nit'amim Lotam Echad. Let the snake come. Everything takes to him like one thing, like dust. V'yiparim Mikifuye Tova. He should take his due from those who are kofar tov, those who deny the good. Shadavar echan mishtana leham lakama ta'amin. Because the man could change into many flavors. Instead of saying, thank you so much, wow, we've been sustained for 40 years. You know, in the desert, it's very hard to find food. There's nowhere to plant. There's nowhere to sow. We didn't have to work. We had time for our families. And milkness, thank you so much. And instead, what are they saying? This is disgusting. We're disgusted by it already. We just saw Rashi inside. The serpents were sent. The serpents are a reminder that if you tap into Kolach HaDibur of the serpent in a negative way, Hashem pays you back. You tapped into the Kolach of the serpent, the Lashon of the serpent. Hashem is going to send the serpent. It's no accident that in this week's parasha, when Moshe meets God at the Sneh, and he speaks Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. His hand first turns to Tzaras. We just spoke about Tzaras. He throws down his mata, and the mata turns to a snake, a nachash. What is the allusion here? We spoke about Knesset Yisrael. So I just want to share two paragraphs from Henny Malchus' book, and then we will go to the other sefer. This class feels like we've been here for 5 minutes, to me at least.
Covering a lot of stuff.
Unbelievable. Okay. A Ramat Beit Shemesh student story. So in other words, they have her student stories, her kids' stories in her footsteps. Listen to this. I can't believe how relevant this is for what we're learning. When they started building in Ramat Beit Shemesh, snakes would come into our neighborhood. This is told by an anonymous student. She doesn't want to give her name. Snakes would come into our neighborhood. One day we had a snake inside our house, a viper. We called a man to take him out. I told Rabbitson Machas that we had the viper when I went to class. All the students laughed, but she said nothing. So after the class, I went to her and I said, I saw you didn't say anything. She looked into my eyes and she said, if you have a snake in your house, there are those who would say you should be especially careful to watch your tongue. Her point was, this isn't a funny story. Her point was, stop and reflect on what's happening in your life. Think, why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu sending you this or that? Snakes don't come to a house because of nature. Hashem sends them. Bring Hashem into your life all the time. So it's tremendous. The person thought it was a funny story, and here Hedy was saying, it's not. If Hashem sends a nachash, there's a reason the nachash was sent. So I thought, considering what we just learned in the Chumash with Rashi, coupled with what the Chavetz Chaim tells us, it's extremely profound and sobering. We don't live in a society where we're going to have snakes showing up in our house, but we certainly live in a society where there are metaphoric or proverbial snakes, and we need to open our eyes and see the messages all around us. You know, I'll give you an example. If you're trying to send a text and it doesn't go through for some, you know, sometimes WhatsApp isn't connected to the server and doesn't go through, and then you try again and it doesn't go through. So you should think to yourself, this didn't go through two or three times. Maybe Hashem is telling me you need to go back and delete what you wrote. Maybe this is something that you should not have sent. So we're not in a place where we're going to have vipers crawling around, but we are living lives where we have to open our eyes and see what is the messages that Hashem sends us every day. Yes?
So I'm going to throw him at Hashem tomorrow night, and I'm not the best flyer in the world. Why am I going? Because my son made Aliyah, and my grandson is there, my daughter-in-law. And I keep saying, Hashem wants me to go to Eretz Yisrael. That was when he originally said he's making Aliyah, whatever, I said, because usually once kids start going, you know, for the year, you know, you had to take one trip, or with your husband Israel, it was a far trip. I said, Hashem really wants me to go to Kotel, he wants me to go, he wants me to go to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why I look at it when people say, and I look at it in a good way, like my son, my other son, Benny, on Friday night, he goes, Mom, you have to look at the good. I'm saying, but even though I like everyone to be together, my family, all my kids.
You mean you
together,
see it as not only your kids and it's so, but you're saying you see that Hashem is telling you, you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
As Naim the Kotel, didn't we quote Rashi from that Gemara? Here we're looking at a positive, like you're saying, Hashem wants you down there. It's not only that the walls here, which they do in a negative, watch your negative speech, but as Naim the Kotel, when we stand by the Kotel Ma'aravi, Hashem hears.
He wants me to go to the Kotel.
Okay. So Be'ezus Hashem, he should answer Davin for us. Davin for me, please. Should answer your Tula Sotova. Okay, let's do two halachos. Anything else? No, okay. No? Okay. Construct. Yes. Yes, please.
Did you know Henny Machos personally?
Say it again.
Did you know
Henny
Machos personally?
Did I know
never
her?
I had the pleasure of meeting her.
No.
Okay. I
feel the same. So I met her husband.
I wish I would have met her.
Yeah.
There are a lot of women in this community who did go to her house, and everything that's in that book, they did see.
There's a story in here by someone from our community, Zahava Zimmerman. I texted her after I read the story. I'm like, I just read your story. She knows, she told me, it's so interesting. She told me she didn't even know they're putting it in. They asked the seminary, whatever, asked them to send in remembrances. She said it went in the book exactly as she wrote the email. When she said she didn't even know what was going in, a friend said to her, Zahava, do you know your story's in the book? She didn't even know. She said it was exactly the way she emailed. So it's absolutely, and I'll tell you something, I finished the book about 3 weeks ago. I now started the book of Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yun Kolam Damo. I still miss reading this book. I'm sorry that I finished it.
I'm still reading it. Enjoy. Reading it, thinking of you.
Okay. Below we will see that in certain situations one may and sometimes must provide people with negative information. Did you hear what I just said? Not me. Chavetz Chaim, a lesson a day. Below we will see in certain situations one may and must provide people with negative information that is important for them to know, either to avoid being harmed or for some other constructive purpose. So this sort of ties into ochech tochich as amitecha. First we have to think, do I really need to give that person tochacha? Maybe I should be giving myself tochacha. Hani Mach is talking about her zchusa tagin aleinu. Would say, if you see a negative in somebody else, it's really a flaw that you have. You're projecting it on somebody else. It's really your own flaw. But let's say you really do have to give tochacha. Sometimes you do have to relay negative information for constructive purpose or to avoid being harmed. Whenever faced with such a situation, one must explain why he is saying something that would ordinarily be prohibited. So the listener understands, prohibitions regarding Lashon Hara are not being transgressed. To say anything the listener thinks is Lashon Hara, when in fact is not, constitutes Avak Lashon Hara. So look at the perception here, the subjectivity. Even if you're saying something that you got a heter to say, you ask the Shah, let's say it comes to Shidduchim, don't ask any questions or make any comments, it's its whole own category, you must ask a Shaila. But let's say you were told you have to say this, but you don't say, this is a practical application of this, you don't say to the person on the other side, I asked a Shaila of my Rav, say the Rav's name. I was told I'm allowed to tell you this. If you just say it without an introduction, they might think it's Lashon Hara. And then you're not allowed to say it. You're not allowed to give the perception, to give an insinuation that you're speaking Lashon Hara. So the halacha is you have to preface it by saying, I was told, Das Torah, I must tell you this. It is not Lashon Hara. Then you can say it. So it has tremendous implication, especially when it comes to the realm of passing along information for Shidduchim. But make sure it's understood by the other party that you have a heter to say what you're saying. When it comes to, I don't know, a teacher, a principal, and you have reason to say something about another child in the class, you spoke to Rav and you got permission. So you have to make it clear that you're doing this with Das Torah and that you were told you're allowed to speak negatively because it's Lito Alice and therefore you have a heter. And if you don't give that explanation, it's usher to say. So look at how careful you have to be because of how a person may perceive something. Unbelievable. The primary prohibition against speaking Lashon Hara is Lo Teleich Rachil Bamecha. We spoke about it in depth last time. Don't be a gossip monger amongst your people. Remember Rashi, can't wink, body language. The Chavetz Chaim demonstrates the sin can involve the transgression of numerous positive and negative commandments. The Baal Lashon Hara. There's a Mesaper, someone who tells, and a Baal Lashon Hara. What's the difference? A Mesaper is someone who occasionally, I'm not saying it's good, we're not endorsing either of them, but the Mesaper is someone who tells Lashon Hara, the Baal Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara already moved in. He's like a Ragil, he's a home of Lashon Hara, he's a person of Lashon Hara, can easily accumulate a multitude of transgressions at a rate, you ready for the next words? Unparalleled by any other sin. A master of Lashon Hara. Like Yosef was the Baal HaChalamos, the master of dreams, the personification of dreams. The Baal Lashon Hara, the master of Lashon Hara, can accumulate Chata'im, Pesha'im, Avonos at a rate unparalleled by any other sin. That's why the sages say speaking Lashon Hara is worse than even the most severe sins. Furthermore, it is virtually impossible for the habitual speaker to ask forgiveness of everyone who's affected by sinful speech. It goes back to the bird. If the bird, if the winged creature carries the words, you don't know a thing about the migraine bird. Everywhere that the bird stopped on the way, every field, every tree that he ate from, could he go to every tree and say along the migratory path, he ate from this seed, he dropped the seeds here. It's impossible to ask forgiveness of everyone who's affected by sinful speech. He will find it difficult, if not impossible, to achieve full repentance. Therefore, the sages caution us to avoid associating. Listen to this. The final thing is, you should be careful. You should not associate with a Baal Lashon Hara. Not only are we talking about the Baal Lashon Hara who accumulates chataim at a rate unparalleled. Not only can you not... can you yourself, if you're Baal Lashon Hara, attain true teshuva? Because like the bird who carries the sin, who carries the word, you can't go to every place where the bird stopped. You don't know the effect of your words. But the third nekuda on this halacha day is the sages caution us to avoid associating with a Baal Lashon Hara. So much so that you should not live in the vicinity of such people. So the negativity and the impact that it has on my soul and on the souls of others around me, it was obviously tremendously powerful. So, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha to continue to see the good, amen, to guard the tongue, to keep it pure and kadosh for ourselves and all those around us. Be'ezus Hashem, amen, amen. Thank you for the delicious treats. Thank you, ladies. Yeah.